it. We know, Lord, you love us all. You know, we do not know about the God. We do not know about the one true God till, Father, you came. And you show us the way because you have provided a way. And that way was Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. The way that leads to eternal life, for He is the life. Because, Father, only in truth do we see the way to eternal life. And we thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus given to us, Father. And this morning, right now, Father, as we approach thy word, we want to thank you, Lord, for you have created in us a clean heart. You have given us a new heart. We want to thank you, Father. Bless the holy name. Open our mind now to the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, and we want to continue the series. But today, I want to first of all deal with this transition from what I would say from the Gentile, from this period of the church age when the seventh thunder comes, the transition from here over to the preaching of the gospel by the two witnesses to the Jew. Now, I want you to go, first of all, to Revelation again, and let me just show you this picture so that you have an idea. Now, we are very familiar with Revelation 10, 7, or Revelation 10, this mighty angel that came down, where we did deal with last week. Now, as you already know, that Revelation 10, in this vision of John saw the mighty angel came down from heaven and put his right foot in the sea. And then he said he put his left foot upon the land. Now, I want to make it once again clarify to you that this vision of John is not about the rapture. You understand that? It is not about the rapture. It is about Christ coming to claim what belongs to Him. Okay? The redemption of the Gentile to take back also the Jew and take back the whole earth. Do you understand? So Revelation 10 refers, is a depiction of Christ coming to claim, having already opened up the seven seals book. And when the book was opened in his hand, that's why he came down and he openly showed his identity. What belongs to me? This is what belongs to me. All that which is written on the front and on the back side, all the name of the redeemed is coming to claim. All that which belongs to him, the earth and the fullness thereof, all he's going to take back. You understand that? Okay, so it's nothing to do with the rapture. It's just showing he's coming to take. But he first of all, he came down, as you know, he put his right foot in the sea and then his left foot upon the land. As you know that the foot, the Bible said that it was fiery. Alright? His feet as of like a fire, fiery feet. Now fiery or brazen feet of shows judgment. Okay, so he comes to purge judgment as to purge fire, shows purging and judging. So he comes to clean up all that belongs to him, get his bride ready and prepared, and then he'll go to the Jews. Okay? So now, I want to say this, that if you look at this itself, you already can see. First he goes to the Gentile, then to the Jew. We are going to look at this today, the transition between the Gentile going to the Jew, the closing of the Gentile age going to the Jew, alright, with the gospel. I want to entitle this sermon or this message today, From the Seven Thunders to the Two Olive Trees. That is what I'm titling it. So that you have an idea. Now, for those who teach, like what Frank teaches, that the seventh thunder, or the Revelation 10:7, the Revelation 10:7 is not about Christ coming for the bride. It says Revelation 10:7 has nothing to do with the Gentile. It has everything to do with the Jew. That it is Christ coming down to deal with the Jew after the seven seals are open. It's open. And he said it's not open yet. In fact, many it is not open yet. And then you have the seventh trumpet. So Revelation 10:7 to him is the trumpeting angel, the seventh trumpeting angel who blew the trumpet. That's when he said Christ will come for the Jew. Now, even if it is so, I want to look at this chart here, as you can see. Now, if Revelation 10:7 is not a vision about Christ coming to redeem the earth, and even if it is to the Jew, why would Christ come for the Jew? It is at this place. Right? Isn't it so? Christ will come down because during this period of the 70th week of Daniel, During this period, Christ is not revealed physically to anyone, not to the Jew, not to the Gentile, except only to the bride that God is taken out. Right? Do you understand? So we know that when Christ comes back to fight for Israel, when would that take place? It will take place at the end of it, at the end of this 70th week. Alright? Now, the Bible said when Christ comes to fight on the day of Armageddon, his feet will land on Mount Olive. And Mount Olive will split into two. And that has to be only at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, when Christ comes and reveals himself to the Jews. Do you understand? And yet the vision of Revelation 10, it's not about Christ coming down putting his feet upon Mount Olive. Now, when your person interprets something like this, that Revelation 10 is over here, then something is wrong. Or you better put Revelation 10 anywhere else. Where are you going to put it? Huh? Because Revelation 10 is a vision. It's not literal. It's a vision to depict something. Events of what Christ is doing, is going to do. But what has Jesus, the epistle, the gospel said about when Christ come, he said he come down upon Mount Olivet, right? And the Mount Olivet was split into two. So when we need to differentiate between what is literal and what is symbolic, you see. Alright, so now, make sure you understand that Revelation 10 has nothing to do with the rapture per se. Okay, nor is it about Christ coming to Mount Olive in the day when he comes to the Jew and reveal himself to the Jews. Okay, also that Revelation 10 has nothing to do with Christ being off the mercy seat. It has been said that some people have been teaching that when Revelation takes place, Christ is off the mercy seat. And that's what many of them believe. Many brethren believe that when in 1963, when Brother Abraham revealed the seal, okay, got the revelation of the seal and taught it. And they were saying that once all those seals were revealed, Christ is off the mercy seat. That's why he came to take the bride. He's off the mercy seat. And to many, there's no more anyone could be born again. Even to this day, there are people that teach that. No one can be born again. You see. Alright, and so there's a lot of strange teaching going on, particularly in many countries, in Africa, in America, Canada, India, Philippines. And you get all these strange teaching that comes because of certain things the Prabhupada said, that their people themselves do not take it to the world. And if you don't take what he said to the world and check it out at the wise bearing, and you have a problem. Alright, I hope that You understand what I'm saying on this? Okay? Now, with this, I want to tell about the transition. Okay? Now, I'm dealing with this period of time here, the seventh thunder. Now, we realize if you go back into the Old Testament time, when the Jew, you know, God don't deal with groups. Remember that. He deals with individuals. Even here, we are all as a group, but God don't deal with us as a group. He deals with individual life. Right? Isn't it? Okay. So now, in the Old Testament, you see God spoke to the prophet. The prophet bring the message to the people of Israel. Okay? He had the priest minister in the tabernacle or in the temple. There are all different forms of ministry. Now, when it comes down to the gospel era or the church age, John the Baptist came, then Jesus came, then after Jesus came the apostle. And do you know that? You know that, don't you? Okay. So you have a prophet, John the Baptist, then you who introduced Christ, the Messiah, then you have the prophet himself, the prophet of prophets, that's Christ. And after he ascended, before he ascended, he gave the commandment to his disciples and they became apostles. Then the church started and become a group of people now. A group of apostles in which Jesus Christ would give them the message where they would go out and preach. And each of these apostles, they all had a share of the faith, of the gift of faith. Some had more, some have less. Is that right? 34, 64, 74, or 104. Then the church started. Now, we are in the fivefold ministry age now. I mean, after all, I just started off with the apostles and then came all the rest of the fivefold ministry. But when the church entered into the period of darkness under the Catholic regime, the fivefold ministry did not really was set in motion to perfect the bride at all. You can't. Because why? Because the believer, the same world, under tradition. And if they don't come back to the word, they cannot be perfect. So that's why God had the reformer. The reformers, each one came and started to bring forth a little of the word of God. But it is only in the seventh church age, this particular age that we live in, that God brought message. Alright? Or God sent a message through the prophet, Brother Branham, who called us to come back to the Word of God, to come back to that apostolic doctrine. And so when we come back, when we come out of that tradition, the system, Babylon system, and come back to the Word, it's only then that the fivefold ministry can actually be implemented and come into reality to perfect the saints. Because as long as we are under tradition, we can never come to that place of maturity. You know that, don't you? You got a Baptist, a Methodist, Anglican, just whatever, Pentecostal or Charismatic. It is just the same. They remain the same. They would not go into what is apostolic. You know. So we need to get out from the system, because the system blinds us, the tradition blinds us. So we come back to the Word of God, and the fivefold ministry away. Now we have the fivefold ministry. Now as I said, is remember that we have the three places, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. Christ will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, remember Thessalonians. Is that right? And then we have the trumpet. So it's only at the last trumpet, remember, that the rapture will take place. Not before. So if we are the shout as a minister, a ministry, a brother Branham bringing forth a message to come out of her, my people, then from there we go over into the next phase. After Brother Branham's gone, the fivefold ministry comes in. And then we have the voice of the archangel, the voice of Christ, the chief angel, or chief messenger, who is speaking to us now. Then from the fivefold ministry, once the church is perfected, the barber is no longer needed. That's when the trump comes in. That's when the seven thunders comes in. Seven men will come and speak the word. Remember, it's all spoken word. Shout is a spoken word. The fivefold ministry is a spoken word ministry. And the same thing with the trump, which is the seven thunder. They're all going to speak. All that they are after, Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Now faith doesn't come by reading. You need to hear. That's why it's important to hear, not to read. I mean, after all, if it can come by reading, then the Pharisees and the rabbis and the priests of those days in Jesus' day, in the synagogue, they open the book of Isaiah, and yet they read it, they don't understand. They read all the books of the prophet, they don't understand. They didn't understand. You see? So faith did not come by reading, it comes by hearing. That's why is it so important for us to fellowship? Why is it important for you to hear the word of the Lord? Why? Because there is a ministry. God used that method. He sent man to teach you, to tell you. He sent a prophet to get us out of the system. Once you come out, go back into the word, then he gives the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. That's God. Then once the saint is perfected, matured, no longer tossed to and fro with all kinds of strange doctrine, then he will send the final trump, the last trump. And the seventh thunder will come and they will speak the word that was not even written in the Bible. Because why? It was sealed up. John heard it. John the beloved represented the beloved wife of Jesus Christ. And if John heard it, you will have to hear it. You understand? You will have to hear it. And even as Martin said, where do you hear the voice of those thunders? You know, we need that for rapturing faith. Because you will have faith enough to be healed. Much less to be raptured. That's why we need rapturing faith. And then faith cometh by hearing. And that's why we need that last and final trump when the thunder shall utter their voices. All the people have find hard to believe it. But let me show you something. I already show you this. It's a mystery. God is dealing with people. Through men. Preacher, prophet, apostle, right? All the way. One man, Brother Brandon, fivefold ministry, then we have seven thunder. Now, you're passing over. You're going to carry. Do you remember that when the church started, they were all Jews? Is that right? They were all Jews. Sure, isn't it? And we have Paul came along out of one of due season. And the Jew cannot accept the revelation he had. And so God said, go to the Gentiles. So the gospel went to the Gentiles. Right? And then you have people like Timothy, Titus, and most, many of them are not really Jews. Half Jews, perhaps even proselyted Gentiles. And you find that as the gospel went to the Gentiles, and that's why the Jew rejected, huh? Begin to die off. You see? So that's why we see here, as you look at this chart here, we have this. Tares and wheat. The tares are bind up. Okay, well, we see the ecumenism, the ecumenical movement, bind up by all these tares churches together for to be cast, for to be burned. Alright, then the wheat is what God, Christ wanted. But the wheat, not all wheat are well pollinated. All wheats are wheat anyway. God wanted those that are pollinated. So from that story, from the parable of the wheat, next moment you don't hear about the wheat anymore. Because Christ now is using another parable. Now he used the word virgin. Okay, so there are two kinds of virgin there. The wise and the foolish. And the wise virgin is the one that make up the bride. And that was the one that will be translated and taken up in the rapture. Whereas the foolish one, they will continue to go all the way into the tribulation. You understand? Now the Jew, having already left off, because this church age period, as we already said, they are all Gentile age. It's a Gentile age, right? The seven churches, they are all mainly Gentiles. Not that there are no Jews accepting the gospel, they are. But God mainly deals with the Gentiles. Okay? So finally we realize that once, during this period of time, when the children of Israel got back to their homeland, okay, in 1948, okay, then we realize then that God is dealing with the children of Israel in a way that He blessed them, the land, okay, and slowly, slowly, there are some that became what they are called Messianic Jews today, okay. You understand that? I mean, they are Jews, they embraced Christ, the gospel. Alright, so we find that, you see here the chart here, you see the word J here, which stands for Jews, Jew. So during this time already, as God is closing out the church age of the Gentile, the Jews start to come into understanding the gospel, and many of them are actually studying the gospel, the New Testament. They're actually studying the New Testament to find out more about this Jesus Christ. And you probably have seen it in the YouTube about a rabbi who was given the revelation of the name of the Messiah before he passed away. Okay, even the prophecy that Messiah would come when what's the name of that prime minister who's Sharon, he's in coma. And if he passed away, the Messiah would come. You know, so why God is doing this? Because as you know, God would deal with the Gentile majority in a period of time. As the period of time tails off, He goes back to the Jew. So that is always the transition. Now, we all say this, that if we look into what the Bible said, as I said this, Revelation 10, the mighty angel came down with his right foot in the sea, then he placed his right left foot upon the land. Now here, as I said, Christ has to come and take first the Gentiles. And if he comes to the Gentiles, we have the shout, the voice, and the trump. Alright, the ministry of Brother Branham, the ministry of the fivefold, and then we have the ministry of the seven thunders. Okay. Now, once the seven thunders utter their voices to take the bride out, then the gospel will have to go to the Jew. Okay, so from the seven thunders, the ministry will move to two olive trees. Now, people say, seven thunders. Now, it is easy for us to know what a seal is. Alright? The Bible says, a book sealed with seven seals. You know what a seal is, right? Everybody knows. Bible says, trumpet. Everybody knows what trumpet is. Vowel. Everybody knows what a vowel is. But when we say thunder, thunder is not a thing that you can hold. Like a trumpet, like a seal. Am I not right? Huh? Thunder is a noise. Correct enough. So, if it is a thunder, what is the thunder? Well, I'm going to say, you know, as Rabbi quote from the Bible, the thunder is the voice of God. Everybody knows the Bible says many places the thunder, when God speaks, there's thundering, there's all the voice of God. Yeah, sure. But the Bible says seven thunders. What does it mean? Seven thunders utter their voices at the same time. The Bible said, right? John did not say, there are seven thunders, the first one uttered, then the second one uttered, then the third one uttered. He didn't say that, like that. They are that simultaneously. Like you know, the Bible said, they uttered their voices. Now, if the thunder is the voice of God, seven thunders are seven voices of God. So God speaks seven times together. That's not possible. That's not the way that you can interpret the Bible like that. Do you understand that? So they said the seven seals, when it is open, they are the thunders. That's not what the Bible said. If the thunder is the voice of God, how could a seal when it is open become the voice of God? How could it be? Because God didn't speak. It's the elders or the four beasts that said, come and see. Right? And John saw. There was nothing else spoken. All it was, the John was told to see. Or in fact, the translation that goes on is to go, tell the beast, tell the horse, go. That's it. So you say, how do you people want to interpret the scripture? From what? If there is no consistency of interpreting the word of God in the way that it should be, then you have a problem. If there are all kinds of strange doctrine. You understand that? So now, how do we know that the seven thunders are men? They said, cannot be. Cannot be. Let me ask you this question right now.
How is it that the two olive trees are met?
Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4.
And you see, God used symbols. And many times symbols, they are clear. But not all the time, because God hides it the way He wants to hide it. Is that right? Just like the horses. You know. Till this day, a lot of people have their own idea out there in the system. Zechariah chapter 4, reading from verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is waking out of his sleep. Here was Zechariah, prophet. And he'd been shown a couple of visions in first 3 chapter. Now he was tired, and the angel came in to him again, wake him out of his slumber. And he woke up, and he said unto me, what seeth you? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a board upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and the 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and the 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the board, the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto him. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these 2 olive trees upon the left side of the candlestick and upon the right side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, this was a vision as Zechariah, visited by the angel, was shown. But the thing is that what did he see? He saw a candlestick. And we know that the golden candlestick has always been a symbol of that which the Jews were well acquainted with in the tabernacle of Moses, as well as in the temple, right? Is that right? And we know that they are represent the church age mysteriously. Of course, the Jews did not know what they actually represent, but they know it carries the light, and 7 has always been God's perfect number. Okay? Now, so when he saw that, the angel told him, he said that the word of God that was already given to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a type of a governor, administrator, when they went out to build a temple. And so the angel said, well, he has started the work, he will finish it. But it is not by might. Not by might of a whole lot of people. You know, when you have a great army, an army of many soldiers, you say, oh, that's a mighty army. Okay? And Zechariah is saying that God's word to Zerubbabel was, it is not by might. It's not by the strength of how many people that you have. Not by power. Not by power of your strength. Not by numbers. Not by strength. But by my spirit, said the Lord, I will know how to get you to build it. That's why in the building of the church of God, which is Zerubbabel is talking about building the temple, which is temple represents also us, the church. Is that right?
And people are trying to help God build a church. You know? There are sure numbers that they have out there in the charismatic, in the Pentecostal. You know? So it is not about numbers. It is not about quantities. Right? It's about qualities. God is looking at you as the kind of person you are. Whether you are of good quality as a real Christian. God is not interested in the church. Oh, we have 1,000. How many do you have, brother again? Oh, so small a number. It's not about that. And that's why I think Brother Nice came out of the PAW, which he could have 1,000 or 2,000 people or more if he wanted to. But when the message came, he has to leave. And when he left, what did he get? He get nothing. But soon, student came to his fellowship. People who are still in high school or university, studying. There was nobody else particularly working. What did he get for his tithes and offering? Nothing. No support. Huh? So he's not going to stay in the field of being built. No. Because that's not the way God built. It's not about numbers. It's not about an organization. When God calls, do it. Whatever your strength find it to do. When God give you that gift or that ministry for you to do. Whatever it may be. Okay, so now, when you come right down to this verse 10, despite not the day of small things, for there shall be joy and seed of prune in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Now Zerubbabel therefore type who? Type Christ. Right? You see? With those seven. What those seven? Those seven, huh? That's interesting. I always say those seven. And you know that those seven were found, you can find that in the book of Revelation chapter 1. Those seven, there was the seven eyes upon that lamb, and the seven horns upon that lamb. And all right. Well, verse wonderful enough, he says, for they shall rejoice and shall see the proof made in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Now, let me tell you something. If I were to tell you that the bag is in the hand of Brother Henry with those seven, what does it mean? If I said the bike is in the hand of Brother Henry with those seven. You know that when I'm referring to that, Brother Henry and those seven, it's not those seven pillars, those seven chairs. Those seven with him, he has to point to men. Common sense will tell you that. That's why the seven church ages, each age has a messenger. And when you come down to the seven thunder, the seven thunders, and he said, they are out of their voices. Right. Okay, let us come here and just identify. They are the eye of the Lord, eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole. That's the seven spirit in the who is with Christ, the seven eyes, seven horn. But you know that, as I said, the seven spirit works with seven angels, heavenly beings, and then the seven angels deliver it down to seven men on the earth. You agree with that? True. You see, each age has a messenger. But when it comes down to the last part here, after the seven seal was revealed, total silence, something happened. And we see that as in Revelation 10, that the seven thunder uttered their voices. Something is fixing to happen, and John wanted to write it down. No, he wasn't allowed to write, because there is something God would not allow John to write, because as Bible would put it simply, if it is written, the devil knows how to read it, and the devil will make a mess of it. Right? True, isn't it? You see? So a lot of mysteries, they are not revealed until such time. Even in the Old Testament, you can read about the prophecy of the coming Messiah and this and that and everything, right? It's clear. Yet, when the Messiah comes, people still can see. Because they are under tradition. But yet, as the Messiah came and drew all those things, and they just started mystery that were not written in the Old Testament, they will begin to unfold.
You agree with that? And look at what Paul received. He said, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But what do you find in the Old Testament? You don't get it there. But you see only shadows, types, whatever is out there. But you don't have a direct teaching over in the Old Testament. You understand that? It's only when the time comes to be revealed, it will be revealed. And when it's revealed, it will have scripture basis in the Old Testament, things that make you see sense. It's not so simple as God say 1 + 1 = 2. I want to see exactly 1 + 1 = 2. Now, you know when you say you're a Christian, you're born again. Most people who are not Christian, who do not want to believe, who don't have religion, who are atheists, right? I'm a free thinker. Oh, come on, man! You tell me once this born again, immediately you're a Christian, you go to heaven. I'm going to hell. You know? You try to explain to them what is being born again, what is repentance, what is to receive Christ, what is to be born again. I said, that's all religion. You all know that, don't you? Yes or no? But is it real to you? Is it real? And how do you explain this thing? How do you explain that the spirit that moves in your spirit and you know the reality? You know that you don't belong here. You belong there. Huh? At times, you know, you sit at home, you go through all the frustration of life and you just want to go home. So, Lord, oh, I wish I want to go home. I don't belong here, Lord. I don't belong to this earth, this world. I want to go. Because there is a spirit, there is a deep color to the deep. Right? Because there's something in us here that God gives us that we call to the deep and the deep responds. That's how we get the gospel. We get this spirit of life that God gives us. How do you tell this to the people out there who are skeptic? Huh? All they want to see is what they can see in the eye. If only you have $1 million on the table, wow, look at that. Pounds of money. Right? Spiritual things are not, as the Bible says, they are not seen with the eye, they are spiritually discerned. See? So it's a real thing. Now, let us continue here. Verse 11, then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side? And I, and the angel did not answer him. Then he asked again. So, what are these with these two olive branches? Sometimes it's an olive branch, olive tree actually, yeah? It's just the same actually, just the way of speaking. Which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of them. So golden oil, you know what oil is? Oil is used for anointing. Oil, so also when you say anointing, you also talk about your anointing comes from God. You understand, right? Your anointing comes from God. If your anointing comes from God, it must be a spirit that flows up from God to anoint you with the word. So it's the golden golden oil out of themselves. And he answered and said, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the word by the Lord of the whole earth. So now who do you think that really is? Let me show you this picture now. Here we have. Now you go. This is just I try to draw it up to try to make it some sense. Okay. Yeah. Two olive trees. All right. Here's the golden candlestick. Now the way they describe, nobody know how actually it actually looked like. Okay. It was in there. There's a bowl on top here, a big bowl where the oil flow. You know, liquid finds its own level, huh? So no matter how much oil you pour here, all the oil will go down, will fill up, it will go out. This oil will not just flow over, right? It will, the oil that goes down will find its level. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Sister Lucy? Now we all folks perhaps don't quite understand. All those girls, you know water finds its own level, right? Yes? You understand that? You don't quite understand. No matter what, when you pour water, if you pour oil into this tube,
into this, this oil into a hollow inside. If you pour oil into here, the oil will flow down to the bottom and then you'll fill up, right? So when it fills up, it must fill up all this. It will move. It will not just go into one tube alone. Because these are all connected, hollow. So the oil will flow, so the oil will flow all the same level out. Now you understand.
Oh, okay. At least I get through to you.
So now, from what we described, is that there is a bowl on the top of it. And there is two pipes. The oils are supplied by this olive tree. You understand? Okay. Now, if you just to look at this picture, here is the seven church ages. So to speak, this is the representation. Huh? Representation of the seven church age. Right? In every age, the light is lit and is burning. Correct? And the age, this gender age, the seven church ages, we all have the oil. Every age have the oil that supply their need. Right? So now, where do we get this constant supply of oil? It comes from the olive tree. Now, one thing about the olive oil, it says golden oil, this actually means pure olive oil. A golden quantity, good quantity, not golden in the sense as being really golden in color. Okay, it's an expression of the pureness of it. Now, olive oil there are two things used with it in everyday life. One, used for cooking. Right? Yes, what is the other one? What do they use? Used for lighting up lamp. Is that right? Okay. And the third thing they use is for the anointing. So you see, the olive oil is food. In fact, olive oil is a very good oil for health. And it's used for burning. And it's used for anointing. So now, if you look at this olive tree, one on the left, one on the right. First of all, it symbolizes one thing. It's the word of God. The old, the new. The two. Volume of books. We need the two volume of books. And the strange thing is that the Bible said that this holy candlestick stands in between. Not on this side, neither on that side. So it's flanked by the olive tree. So the church is constantly filled in with the oil of God. Is that right? But the oil of God started in the first, before the first church age, already started. They're all Jews, is it? The first church age in Ephesus, remember? Correct. Until they rejected it. So the oil is still going flowing throughout this church age. But now that the church age is closing up, it has to go back to the Jew. And so now, Zechariah is saying, what about these two olive trees? What do they represent? What do they represent? As they are the Old Testament and the Old New Testament, they are Old Covenant and New Covenant, that God gave to Israel. Remember the New Covenant God made with who? Made with His disciple. No, not one Gentile was there. Like it. So, the olive tree always represent, first of all, we know that light came to us through the oracles that God gave to Israel. And then it's Israel represented by the olive tree. They are the one that originally were the one that were anointed and selected by God, or ordained by God, or chosen by God, you will say, to receive this word of life. Right. So now Zechariah said that you will have to go back. The anointing will have to go back, and he says that in verse 14, these two are not the one. These are the two are not one that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So now you go back to Israel, and we know that these two are not the one refers to the two messengers.
on up from the seven. Now let's just look at this image. To say that the seven thunders, after all, there are seven in the Bible, seven church ages, seven spirits, seven bars, seven everything. It's all worked throughout these seven church ages. And this one is this light is no longer being with the Gentiles, it's going to the Jews. You see that? So, when the Bible shows us picture like this, we realize now that the Word of God is going back to Israel, given to them two witnesses. The two are not the one. There always have to be two. After all, two is the minimum number for testimony. Huh? What do we get there? Now let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Now we are jumping here and there, okay? And I'll read verse 1 to 13. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. And the court which is without the temple leave not, and measure it not, but it is given unto the Gentile and the holy city, so they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Alright? Now look at, go back to this chart, and here we are. The 70th week of Daniel. Okay? This is the 70th week of Daniel. 70th week. Period of 7 years. And here we have, well, the two olive trees. Okay? And they will prophesy 42 months. Or 1,260 days is 42 months. 30 days to a month. Alright. These are the two olive trees. There you go. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of you. So now instead of using one candlestick with seven lamps, now it's two candlesticks. Two singular candlesticks. That is, they themselves become bearer of lights. The Bible used olive tree because the olive tree bears olive oil. Olive oil represents anointing. That's why they are called the anointed ones of the end time. Now they are also called candlestick because they are now the bearer of light. Because the oil or the olive tree supplies oil to the lamp. Remember? Now they become lamp. Two candlesticks, two lamps. Standing before the Lord, God of the earth. And if any man shall hurt them, fire proceed out of your mouth and devour the enemy. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that they rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their bodies, the dead bodies, shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Egypt and Sodom, which also our Lord was crucified. And there of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and send gifts one to another, and because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of life from God, entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come on hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were afraid, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Alright, now just briefly.
The two witnesses will testify for 3.5 years. Okay? How can they testify for 3.5 years? Do a lot of miracles. We will come to that later on. A lot of this will discuss as we go along the book of Revelation. Then they will be killed in the middle of the week. When they are killed, the body is left in the street of Jerusalem. Nobody buries them. They just left them. Okay? So now, the whole world can see. Why? When you read the Bible back before the 20th century, it would not be possible. So how could it be possible? The whole world will see. Well, now, you know, the whole world will see because you have your television, satellite, your internet connection, your YouTube, whatever, you know. Huh? Yes? Sure. You see. So, after 3.5 days, when the Spirit of God comes down upon them and resurrects them, the whole world will be in flight. The fear will come upon those in Jerusalem. And there will be a great earthquake. Like 7,000 people will be destroyed. And they, of course, will be taken out, resurrected and gone out. You see? So these are the things that is in the future. You do you want to see that? You want to see that? If you want to see that, you still be in tribulation. You want to see that? You won't want to see that. We know it will happen because the Bible said it will happen. And then when the three wars, after that, the other wars will come. Okay, to bring forth tribulation. Okay, let us go also to chapter 14. Now you can see also what is written in chapter 14, verse 1 to 5. And I looked, and Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harper harping with their harps, and they sang as it was a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and elders, and no man could sing the song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which will not defile with woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he go. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth were found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So now, the purpose of the two witnesses in their testimony, in their preaching, is to seal the 144,000. You understand? Okay? Now it says here they are virgin means to say, not because they are not married men. Virgin means that they do not know tradition. They are separate from tradition unto the truth. Okay. And the Bible here also said that in their mouth was not found any guile. Means that they keep themselves clean. There is nothing that when they say that contradicts the word of God or defile the name of Jehovah. Okay? And he said in verse 3, they sang as it were a new song before the throne. Only the redeemed people can sing new songs. Now, when you were in the world before you know Jesus Christ, what did you sing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's that kind of song. Right? Isn't it so? And if you are Elvis Presley, Spain, rock around the clock, rock, and all that rock. Right? And if you are Chinese, Chang Chang Tong Chang Chang, whatever you will have. And then if you are Tamil Kalankali, Avasasantam, and all that stuff, right? You will have all this song, but when you are a Christian, you sing a new song. New song that the world will not sing. Right? Yeah, even though we are Christian, we still know some of this country music. We sing them, yeah, because it's not a clean song. But only Christian can sing Christian song, new song. We can sing about life. We can sing about love of God. We can sing about grace, mercy. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh my. You see, this is a new song. Let us go to Revelation 7. We will follow from here. Revelation 7 now. Now you know Revelation 7
After the seals were opened in chapter 6, and here we have in chapter 7, and after this thing I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, having the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, here is the next vision that John saw. He saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, it doesn't mean, where are the four corners of the earth? Tell me, anybody know? In the North Pole, South Pole, and so east and west is where? East is what? Singapore, China. West is where? America. When you talk about four corners of the earth, there is one special location that is always tied to, and that is the river Euphrates. Okay, now, we know that in the Bible days, the Middle East, Egypt, Israel, all these places are known as the crossroad of the world. Alright. But the people, the civilization started where? The civilization started after the flood. Most of the people lived where? In Mesopotamia. You remember that, don't you? And this great river Euphrates is the source of life. So, civilization starts there, really. Literally, everybody flocked there because it was fertile land. You see? So, the four corners of the earth is meant to be in that region as a symbol. Because once the river Euphrates dries up, of course, it was never dry in those days, there was a lot of tributaries. Alright? They came down from the mountains everywhere to join to this big river. So the river is always filled with water. And it's not possible for the army in the north to come down to Canaan land. There's no way for them to cross the river. They have to navigate around the track and all those roads, which of course in a war you don't want to travel so many months, you know, just to cross to get across. You see, and those days when the people travel, they have a lot of what? Horses. They have to have a lot of food supply too. Chariot. So it is not easy to cross that big river Euphrates. So river Euphrates has always been a symbol as that point where east, north, south, east, and west can come to that place. It is open up to where all can flock to that place as being the crossroad. So now, the Bible said there are four angels that hold back the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. What are the four winds of the earth? That is saying that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. See, the nations of the Gentiles. Or any trees, humankind. So what are the forces? The first force, you have the religious force. Religious wind. Second, military wind. Political wind. Lastly, economical wind. The force. So once this angel will let loose this, then it shows that, okay, now the big war is coming. Armageddon. You understand? Because later we read that in the book of Revelation later on, that the king of the east is going to move all the way to Israel. When the river Euphrates dries up, symbolizing that they can cross, means symbolizing that the war is imminent. Of course, today, whether the river Euphrates dries up or not, is immaterial. In those days when the Bible is written, they have to use this symbol. Okay? Understand that? Alright. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, saying, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to which he was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Don't let go yet. Don't let these four winds loose until we have sealed up the 144,000. Because when it's let loose, everything on earth is going to get hurt. And he says, I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, were 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Now, all these are Jewish tribes. No Gentiles are here. Now, back in those days, back in the 70s, the late 70s, you know about Lord Muthu Krishna of India, the one who believed that he is the Jesus of Nazareth, South India. I said, all those articles. Oh yeah. He was featured in a local, our own local Singapore newspaper supplement called Asia Magazine, I think he was. You know. He believed that he was the one after Brother Branham. He said, when man went to the moon, God comes down into him. So he became Jesus Christ of Nazareth, South India. Lord Muthu Krishna. And he had his ashram, even to this day, after he died, his son took over. Out there in Velu, South India, Tamil Nadu. I was there in that region. I am not interested to see, but I have had a visit from one of his disciples who told me what happened. He says, I was a follower of Lori. He said, Brother Gan, we can talk about Brother Branham doing this miracle and that miracle. But few people have seen miracle with their eyes. I saw a miracle that Lori performed. But when I'm not with him, because I know he's a fake. But his miracle is real. He said, you won't believe it. Because he said, he traveled with the man. I said, I traveled with the man in the van. We have called a gospel team. They will go in the van and go to the village to preach the word of God. So one day he said, we were in the van. We were driving to the village. You know, and we forgot extra tank of petrol. No fuel. The van broke down. And you know, where are you going to get fuel? Where are you going to get the petrol? It's in the city. In the village, where do you get that? You got firewood only, you know, and cow dung. You know, they use cow dung for fuel? Yeah. So we got out of the van. And you know, he said, Lord Muthu Krishna says, everybody remain silent. You won't be upset. God's going to do a miracle. And he asked the driver, fill up the petrol tank with water. And he poured water. Just pour water. And then he put his hand on the petrol tank. Close the tank, he put it in and he says, start the engine. And the engine started and they drove on water. He said, Bergen, I saw my own eyes there. Yeah. And he raised the dead. Miracle. He said, I saw my own eyes. But one day he said, he called me into his office. He said to me, do you see the cloud out the window there in the sky? Look out the window. Do you see the cloud? He said, I look at it. He said, yes, it's a cloud. You know what? That cloud goes wherever I go. And he asked me, brother, he asked me, do you know who I am? He says, no. I'm he. Then the brother said, no. You are the donkey that carries Christ. You know, he wanted to say, I'm here, I'm Christ. And that's why he claimed the title from the beginning. But the brother says, I told him in the face, brother, and I walk out. You are the donkey that carries Christ. Because he has seen, he said, I've seen many of the deception here. The thing that he spoke, they were deceptive. And you know what of his teaching? Is this 144,000? There are only 144,000 that will make the rapture. And you know the follower came from Europe. One man, one lady, families from Canada, from America, from Europe. They sold their properties and they went to Velu. Stayed in the asylum. Big place! And he prophesied that Christ will come. I don't remember what year now. You know, and everybody was living in hope. looking for the coming of Christ, but the year came and it goes. And many of these white people, they went back to Europe, went back to where they came from. All the property is gone. They sold it. You know, when anybody prophesied that Christ is going to come on such and such a day, you better get away from him. So the 144,000 are Jews. Remember here, it's the Jews. Anybody here of the tribe of Dan? Anybody? Anybody come from a tribe of Dan? Asher? Naphtali? Huh? What tribe do you come from? I came from a tribe of Gun. Now we call that's the tribe. That's your family name. But certainly none of us, I can tell you this, belong here. Right? And so what he said? Now, you know one thing here. If you go into the Old Testament, you need a name. The 12 tribes are different, listed here. Okay? The name of Ephraim is missing. You notice that the name of Ephraim is missing. And the name of Dan is missing. Dan is missing. Ephraim is missing. Why? Replaced by Joseph. Joseph had two portions. Remember, Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay, Ephraim, he played the harder. Why? Idols. Same thing with Dan. Idols. You can read it, if you want to, I can give you the verse. You can read it in the book of Hosea. Well, just in the Hosea chapter 5, verse 3 anyway. You can see it right there. Hosea chapter 5 verse 3. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou commit whoredom, and Israel is defiled. You know, if one tribe play this idol worship, the whole camp is destroyed. The whole camp is defiled. And if you, of course, read Judge chapter 18, you can see the whole chapter about Dan. How did Dan also play along with this whole thing? So God removed Dan's name, removed Ephraim's name, put the Levite in. You know, Levite is not supposed to be one of 12. It's a set apart for service. Right? But God put it back here. Put it in. And put Joseph's name in to replace Ephraim. You know. So, make sure your name is not struck off. Verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now I say here, it says here, big multitude, great multitude, no man can number. All nations, all kindreds, all tribes, all over the world, different peoples, huh? Not just a Jew, not just a Gentile. They're all great multitude. And he says, stand before the Lord. And they have palms in their hand, clothed with white robes, and they cry with a great voice, saying, salvation to our Lord, our God, which sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the thrones and about the elder and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, so thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Now, what is the great tribulation? This is the great tribulation here. Huh? After the Antichrist broke the covenant, because these two olive trees troubled them too much. Okay? So they were killed. Then the Antichrist will go after the foolish virgin. Mainly going after the Jew. But as long as you are attached to the Jew, you are part of it. Now look at today. Why is the jihadist? Why is the extreme Islamist extreme? Why are they so much against the Jew? Huh? Why are they so much against the Christian? You understand? Even so today, there are some churches maybe thinking that, oh, the Antichrist must be the Islam. extreme Islamists. They're coming, you know, because the way they keep on attacking the Jews. No. It will be the man of peace, the Antichrist. It will be from people, from Vatican. The man who will sit there and rule and be worshipped. Because in Islam, nobody is said to be worshipped, huh? You understand? Except in Roman Catholicism. You see? So this is what we are seeing. So in the midst of the subtlety of Daniel, when the Antichrist removed the sacrifice, then he will attack. And this is a great tribulation. They all will come out of the great tribulation at the end. Okay? Alright, so there were all the foolish virgin and Jews that were killed, they will come up in this resurrection here before the millennium starts. They will resurrect them. Okay? And let's see, let's go on. They came out of the great tribulation and they washed their robes. You see that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes. They were given white robes already. But their white robes were, well, smudged, wrinkled, tinned. That's why they need to be washed. You know what? We all don't have a robe until we become a Christian. Then we all have white robes. And this one did not keep their robe clean. So they have to be washed in the tribulation. Okay, and there we see over in verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun lighten them, nor any heat. Why? Because in the tribulation, oh my, in the tribulation they hunger. Because in the tribulation, once in the tribulation, you don't have the right to buy and sell, huh? Remember? Unless you take the mark of the beast in the forehead or in the forearm. So if you don't have the right to buy and sell, you go hungry. You probably look for food at the dustbin or on the trees or whatever you can find to eat and survive. Right? And they will come after you and kill you. And then you say here, neither thirst anymore. Yeah. You know, I guess being at the temple, with all this trouble here, the water won't be clean in many countries. And then you say, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. So, you know, during the time of tribulation, the temperature of the earth will be hot. It will be. And we go later on as you look on. A lot of phenomena are going to take place. Alright, but there's some hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and they shall lead them unto everlasting, unto living fountain of waters, and the Lord shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are the tribulation saints. They come out through the tribulation. So if you don't make the rapture, you have to go right in here. Through this 17th week of Daniel. And then you come up here. That means to say, when you come up here, you're not part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? When you die, or when you get raptured, you go up there. Okay? This is the second phase of the first resurrection. The first phase, it's over. It's when the Old Testament sin resurrected on the day of Christ's resurrection. Remember? That's the first phase of the first resurrection. This is the second phase, the harvest. Okay? Then is when we will go up. How do we go up? We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward. We will not be judged for our work or anything. We will be judged for reward. How we live the life, what we do, whatever, the Lord look at us, how He judge, He will give us a reward. Then after receiving our reward, we sit in the throne. Sit with Christ in the marriage supper table, which is 1,000 miles long, maybe longer than that. Everybody will say, I want to sit next to Christ. But you know one thing, we are in the spiritual body. It make no difference where you sit. Okay, then after that is over, we come back with Christ to fight with Him in the battle of Armageddon. So if you don't make that, then you come out after this 70 week of Daniel is over. And Armageddon is fought. You understand that? Okay? So much will close for now. Next week will continue. But this is just to show you that the transition of the seven thunders uttering in the voices being over, it must pass over the baton, who was it? The baton, to another ministry. And that's why we pass over to the olive trees. From the thundering to the olive trees. You understand? God bless. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace, thank you for truth, O Lord. And all that which you have been to us, showing us the truth of thy holy word. We thank you for feeding us, O Father. We know, Lord, we're just so privileged. What manner of men we are, Father, that you cause us to see this precious truth of your word, to see the message of life, coming to all this revelation as you show us, Father. We know you want to make us to see, to be ready for the coming of our Lord and our Savior. And we want to thank you, Lord, for this grace. And truly, Lord, as Zechariah saw the vision, Zerubbabel, who started to lay the foundation of the temple, he will finish it because, Lord, you are with him. And we know, Father, likewise too, as our Lord have laid the foundation, and we know that, Lord, you will finish it. And we are looking forward to that day, Lord, when all things is done. We will be taken home to be with you. What a day that will be. What a day that will be, Father. So we thank you, Father, for what we have received today. We commit the rest of the day to your hand. In Jesus' name. Amen.